The Wellness Way presents Barbara O'Neill. Barbara is coming to talk in London June the 11th, 2024. Go to phillyjlay.com to secure your tickets now. We'll see you there.
Then it was at the same time as all the COVID nonsense kicked off as well, and there was issues with that, and you know, people sort of seeing stuff and other people not seeing stuff. For me, it was just like, why is everything being censored? Am I the only one who sees this here? Like, what the hell is going on, you know? Why isn't anybody seeing what I'm seeing? But I believe that it's due to like a soul level awareness or a soul, how many lives you've lived here as to like whether you can see stuff or you can't see stuff, you know? It was more health anxiety. It just reached its peak. It reached its peak and I was like, right, what do I do? And I remember feeling suicidal. I thought I had cancers all over my body and things like this. This was a current theme all the way through my 20s and stuff. And then I went on to antidepressants for 6 months. And now I understand it from the higher level awareness as well. I had to go on to antidepressants, like I knew what society is going through. Because you can say like, oh yeah, they do this to you. But I'm an embodiment kind of guy. I have to embody stuff. And I didn't know this consciously then. Yeah, I was suicidal. I was just rang the doctors like, right, I need something because I'm literally going to kill myself, okay? Reach the point. Find this with people. They have to go into that dip to be able to sort of build back on firm foundations. Anyway, went on to antidepressants for 6 months. They worked, they stopped me committing suicide, fantastic. And then after about 3 months or so, my friend gave me some DMT. I'd put it off and put it off and put it off. I had it in the drawer for about 3 months, hadn't touched it. And then one day I went out and took some really beautiful pictures of mushrooms, what I'd love to do, came back and I was like, yeah, today's the day, you know, eased off my antidepressants and then did DMT. I had all this download of this universal knowledge of just love. I loved myself completely, just beautiful. Like it was wonderful, you know, and I just loved everybody as well. And like, there was nobody could offend me at all, because I just, it's all linked to the ego mind and the identity and attachment to ideas and division and things. It was just, I was love and light for absolutely everything in the world. And it was just such a beautiful place to be in.
Welcome to The Wellness Way with me, Philly J. Lay, a layperson's guide to your natural health systems, your very own NHS. Welcome to The Wellness Way. I'd like to introduce you to our sponsor, Vivo Barefoot. Did you know the human foot is an evolutionary masterpiece? 26 bones for natural stability, over 100 muscles, tendons and ligaments for natural strength. Embrace your human nature and reconnect to the natural world. We know about Big Pharma, we know about big farming, but did you know about Big Shoe, who put fashion before fitness and wealth before well-being? The unnatural solutions that we have created are not working. There is a better way to live. It's time to stand together, barefoot on one earth, roaring in the face of normality and embracing our human nature. We are nature. Nature is us. Get 15% off your first Vivo Barefoot order using the code PJL15. If you'd like to know more about this, please go and check out my podcast episode with seventh generation cobbler, Galahad Clark, CEO of Vivo Barefoot. Thank you, Vivo Barefoot. Enjoy the rest of the show. Hello, lovely people, and welcome to another episode of The Wellness Way. And today we're going to talk about navigating Earth School. Bloody hard work on this planet, isn't it? You know, it's kind of a bit of a hard graft. And, you know, we've come into the spring and the new awakening, the new year. And so I wanted to bring on a guy that I've been watching on Instagram. And I just love his energy. And it just oozes kind of hope and Earth School. He says everything you need to know about it. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Sam Kelsley, who is Sam Medicine Man, or Medicine Man Sam. Sam, welcome Hello. To the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah, oh, it's lovely to have you here. I'm just inspired by your social media, and I just find it so calming and so, well, it just kind of encompasses everything I feel in my life now. And it's really weird, because if anybody had told me, you know, 5 years ago that I'd be having the conversations that I have with people now,
me too,
I would have said they were taking the piss, you're having a laugh. Yeah. But the awakening, when this happens to you, It's quite momentous, isn't it? And it completely changes your life. So I want to take you back to your former life before you had your awakening and you realized that you were a starseed. So tell us a little bit about your old life and what happened.
Well, my old life was mainly sort of like I was compromising on who I was, do you know what I mean, or who I thought I was anyway. I worked in the forestry for many, many years and I wanted to get out of it. And I never had the, I don't know, I always keep getting like bribes with money. Not bribes, that's the wrong term, but sort of like, yeah, it is like a bribe.
It is,
you know,
it's a bribe.
Here you go, I want to leave. No, here's more money. And you go like, but this isn't really doing anything. Well, okay, I'll go along with it. Do you know what I mean? And I just
I
felt.
I have to say, I'm going to interrupt you because I have to say, I don't know why anybody would want to leave forestry. Mm-hmm. I mean, just being and working with trees.
Well, right. That's a good point. You know, it's like, I know that like 50% of my Chinese astrology is wood element. So it was all divine that I was in that job for the time that I was in it. But at the same time, it was working with pesticides. I didn't like the pesticides. And actually, that's the reason that I left in the first place was like, one day I came back and was just like, obviously there was lots of other things going on in the world and that. But I just thought, I don't want to spray Monsanto's products anymore, you know? I don't feel comfortable with it anymore.
And okay, I've got to ask you about this because I always see forestry. You know, I live in the woods and we have a great farmer who looks after the trees. We have no chemicals. So talk to us about why there are chemicals in forestry. I know we are going to come back to your awakening, but I want to know this because was unaware of it. I'd like to thank today's sponsors of the Wellness Way podcast, London Nootropics. London Nootropics adaptogenic coffee blends are designed to help you stay balanced and elevate your day. They give you all the benefits of regular coffee, but they minimize the side effects such as the jitters, anxiety, and that well-known crash. Lovingly made with the highest quality medicinal mushroom extracts and other adaptogens, each blend is designed for a specific purpose. Flow for mental clarity and focus, Zen to alleviate stress and anxiety, and Mojo for that natural boost. You can read more about their blends and the adaptogens they contain on their website, londonnootropics.com. And if you'd like to learn more about their blends and their astonishing journey, why don't you go and check out our podcast episode together where you can learn more about the boys from London Nootropics. And don't forget to use my exclusive discount, Philly20, for your 20% off. Cheers, London Nootropics. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Well, they use glyphosate for sort of like, I don't know, exposing the bottoms of trees, basically, so that there was a nice clear patch around each tree. But they also use pesticides on the actual trees. All the trees that you're planting are dipped, basically, unless they're broadleaves for whatever reason. But yeah, you've basically got a massive bag of trees, I don't know, like 250 to 500, depending on the size of the sapling. And they're all dipped in pesticide, basically, you know, neonicotinoids and things like this. And I could feel it. I'm very sensitive to this sort of stuff anyway. And I could just feel it, like, come home and I'd be like, coughing and spluttering and things. And I just never liked it, you know. So it was like, then I, but the pesticides, to answer your question, the pesticides are actually there for weevil, because weevil bury the little nose in and then they suck the sap out and then the tree dies, basically. So that's why it's there, to answer your question. But yeah, I just didn't like it, you know, and I was doing it for a long, 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 long time. And I could just feel my health and I loved it because it kept me really fit. But at the same time, you're breathing in this stuff constantly, constantly.
Horrific.
Your nose is running, it gets in my eyes, really bad. So yeah, that's why I was just like, right, fuck this. I've had enough of this now. I just want to be, you know, I don't know what I wanted to do. So I just left one day.
I have to ask though, before we move on, I know that weevil are a problem with trees, okay? I don't spray my trees and I don't seem to have a problem. Mm-hmm. Why, you know, in the forestry industry, is there not a natural solution to weevil?
They've played about with other solutions to it, but money, cost, all these sorts of things, it falls onto the planter who gets all the sort of like, you know, health issues or whatever it is, basically. But no, if you plant them and you look after them within your space, it's okay. But the fact that we're planting rows and rows and rows and rows and rows, it's like, oh, weevil central, because they all flock there, young saplings, great source of food. That's why they sort of like draw to that place, really. And that's why you have to put the pesticides on. And I get it, you know, I understand it from a economic point of view, why they do it. But yeah, I was just like, I've had enough of this now. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, so I decided to leave. You know, I just said, I don't want to spray Monsanto anymore. You know, and they said like, oh, you're crazy and all this. And then it was at the same time as all the COVID nonsense kicked off as well. And there was issues with that. And, you know, people sort of seeing stuff and other people not seeing stuff. You know, it's like, for me, it was just like, why is everything being censored? You know, and to other people, they're just like, oh, no, no, it's all good. It's all good. And I'm like, am I the only one who sees this here? Like, what the hell is going on? You know, why isn't anybody seeing what I'm seeing? But I just, now I believe that it's due to like a soul level awareness or a soul, how many lives you've lived here as to like whether you can see stuff or you can't see stuff, you know. But at that time I was speaking to the wrong people about all this sort of stuff, you know. Fortunately, there was then another group of friends who sort of like came in at that time, and we started to do like, you know, psychedelics and things like this, and that opens up your consciousness. But anyway, right the way through my 20s, basically, I went into, I was just in and out of sort of like, what's the term? Hypochondriac, all the way through, you know, scared of dying all the time, all the time, all the time.
It is a thing. It's a big thing.
Oh, that's it, man. Like, and I had things happen to me when I was younger that really sort of like when I was about 4 years old, I went downstairs, you know, I couldn't sleep. I was going into astral trips. Now I understand it, like deep, deep meditations into the void and stuff. And I would go downstairs and I would say to my mum and dad, look, the man is shouting at me again. The man is shouting at me again. And it was like this voice that just sort of did this right the way around my head going, wah, 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 wah. And I could never sleep. Now I think it's probably my guides or whatever it is that was waking me up. Go downstairs and I saw like horrendous things on the TV and I shouldn't have watched them being the age that I was. Now I understand why, because it's like now I was always very intrigued by death and what that meant. And I remember going all the way through my like young years and thinking, oh God, all my friends and family are going to die and all these things are going to happen and all the rest of it. Now I've got to the point where it's like, oh, I understand why all that, why I wrote that into my soul contract for this lifetime, so that then I could be this shaman, whoever you want to call it, medicine man, basically now. But without that intrigue of death or going through that in my child, you know, throughout my childhood and going in and out of all these depressions and things, none of that would have catalyzed, you know. So it's really interesting to look back on it now with the new awareness that you have, because then you're able to like, you don't need to forgive your parents for anything they did. It was all divine. You came into this family perfectly, you know, and we chose all this before we come here, you know, and that's the amazing thing. So I can no longer take anything personally. It's just, oh, cool, this is it, you know, and you accept it then. And then it pulls you out of that victim mode and into an empowered mode. But yeah, it was, to go into it very sort of briefly, at the start of 2020, I went into the worst depression I've ever been in my life.
Was that due to the lockdowns or was it?
No, this was right at the start. I can't remember what catalyzed it, but it was more health anxiety. It just reached its peak. It reached its peak and I was like, oh, bloody hell, right, what do I do? And I remember feeling suicidal. I thought I had cancers all over my body and things like this. This was a current theme all the way through my 20s and stuff, and late teens. And then what happened? And then I went on to antidepressants for 6 months. And now I understand it from the higher level awareness as well. I had to go on to antidepressants, like I knew what society is going through, because you can say like, oh yeah, they do this to you. But I'm an embodiment kind of guy. I have to embody stuff. And I didn't know this consciously then. But I went into that place of just like, I was suicidal. I just rang the doctors like, right, I need something because I'm literally going to kill myself, okay? Reach the point. As you find this with people, they have to go into that dip to be able to sort of build back on firm foundations. Anyway, went on to antidepressants for 6 months. They worked. They stopped me committing suicide. Fantastic. And then after about 6 months... or 3 months or so, my friend gave me some DMT and I'd put it off and put it off and put it off. I had it in the drawer for about 3 months, hadn't touched it. And then one day I went out and took some really beautiful pictures of mushrooms, what I'd love to do, came back and I was like, yeah, today's the day, you know, eased off my antidepressants and then did DMT. And
so you didn't take the... you came off the antidepressants.
I weaned off them for about a 1.5 weeks, something like that, you know, because I was feeling a lot better and you get all the brain zaps and stuff like this.
You said that they worked. They stopped you from committing suicide. But there seems to be an awful lot of evidence out there that, you know, out of all the antidepressants that are licensed in the UK, certainly, all but one give you suicidal...
Yeah.
effects.
Especially when you're coming onto them as well. And I read that, but like it was almost like a placebo effect as well. You know, I'm sure there was something in that. They definitely do something to your brain, you know, because I remember all the brain zaps and things, but I just started to feel numb. I'm a very emotional person. I love my emotions. Do you know what I mean? And it was like actually going into watching a film on TV, and I was just sat there and I'm like, I should be crying at this. I should be crying at this. Why aren't I crying at this, you know? And it was just very weird for me. So you're all right, but you're just, everything's cool, fine, yeah, no bother, go along. And it just makes you more complacent. And now I understand why powers that were, society, puts these things in there, because it's just like, you know, basically you're medicating your healers. The African tribes come into our culture and look at it and go, oh my God, you're medicating your healers. You know, these are the people, these are your super sensitive people. They're a barometer for what's going on in society, and you're medicating them. And it's just like, aha, but I get it, because it's just like everything's really messed up out here. You know, it's inverted. We live in an inverted reality matrix, basically. So everything we've been told is good, everything we've been told is bad, pretty much. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that amazes me. Just, you know, language is so important, as we know. But, you know, the way we're called positive and negative ions in the world, in the earth, you know, it's the negative ions that are good for you. I mean, they just swap the positive ions that give you cancer. I mean, they just, everything. A smart city, nothing smart about a smart city.
Anything that's smart makes you dumb. That's it, you know, makes you complacent, makes you... you know, yearn for convenience, when actually when you look at the inversion that's happened here, convenience doesn't equal like, you know, the sort of like being comfortable. In fact, it actually takes you away from that, because you're then reliant fully on whatever it is, you know, always this thing outside of yourself to make you feel good or whatever it is. And it's really like when you break it down and you see what, because I see everything as like the divine now, do you know what I mean? So it's really... it's switched around in my mind. It's all good, in essence. You know, as long as you see it from a conscious place and you can start to work through what is actually going on here, it's like, oh, it's very clever. It's very clever indeed what they're doing. Do you know what I mean? Because there's like layers that you have to step out of in the awakening. And one minute you think it's this, and oh my God, that's absolutely true. No, remain open. Best term for God that I found is openness. You have to remain open. As soon as you close yourself off or you contract, then you're no longer in expansion. Do you know what I mean? Can't remember where I was going with that. Anyway, what happened then? What happened then? So anyway, yeah, so on antidepressants, yeah, very cleverly designed, you know, because everything's really messed up out here. And we look at it and go like, well, what will make everybody really complacent and not complain and just go along with it and keep this system in play? Oh, you just take this thing that numbs you to it all. Oh, cool, yeah, everything's fine, isn't it? No, everything's messed up, man. You know, it's all backwards. But
and you're taking the antidepressants that are numbing to it. People are on their phones. They are, you know, on their computers. They're in front of their screens.
Yeah, distractions. Yeah.
We've got fluoride in the water, which also dumbs you down. I mean, we're being hit from every direction to be numb.
Yeah.
And be complacent and go along. And so that's a beautiful description when you talk about the African medicine men, how they go, you know, you're medicating your spirit, your healers.
Exactly, And you're super sensitive. Yeah.
So you talk then about how you come off the antidepressants and you've taken some DMT. Just talk us through that experience, what it was like. Was it the first time you'd ever taken it? And you knew about psychedelics?
I'd done my research. Like, I really like investigating everything and research everything to the nth degree. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting stuff. Nothing can prepare you for what actually goes on and what actually happens. So anyway, yeah, it was a beautiful experience, a terrifyingly beautiful experience. That's the way I say it, you know, because I remember, you know, it's like you do the three draws on it, basically. I did about 10 milligrams, first of all, which is like a low dose. It's about a quarter of a dose, basically, or a breakthrough dose, what they call. And I just sat there on my bed and I was just like, oh, this is quite nice. Oh, I feel really calm and really relaxed. Wow, oh, this is nice. Anyway, and something just said, right, go downstairs, load yourself up 50 milligram, and on we go. So I went downstairs, I remember loading up, sat on the bed, was just like, right, deep breath, here we go. First toke, hold it in for as long as you can. Second toke, third toke, and after third toke, everything starts to fractalize, everything starts to really sort of like just become this soup, basically, and I lay back. as soon as I lay back, like, I remember my ego mind going, what have you done? What have you done? Oh my God. Like, oh no. And I just remember something, my higher self, whatever you want to call it, just came in and just went, just shut the fuck up. And as soon as I said up, I disappeared down this long tunnel, and my identity, my story, my beliefs, my depression, my everything just vanished, just disappeared like that. And I became what I can describe it as, the fabric of the universe. And it was terrifying. It was beautiful. The colors like you've never seen. You are literally going into another dimension. Do you know what I mean? And there was no essence of me. I was just an observable point in the universe. And I was flying through all these beautiful colors. And then I remember slowly coming back into my body, you know. And there's one picture that sticks in my head. It's irrelevant what it is, because it's just all, what's the term? Ineffable. You can't describe it, you know. People say this. So anyway, I came back into my body, and I remember just looking at my hands and going like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, wow, I know absolutely nothing. And it was this most beautiful, like, humbling experience, really. But I just couldn't heads or tails. I could not make heads or tails of it at all, you know. So anyway, from that point onwards, I was like, this stuff is really important, you know. And I remember I hadn't told people I'd weaned off the antidepressants and things like that. A couple of months later, you know, I was speaking to my my ex-partner's mum, and she was like, you're still on the antidepressants, yeah? And I was like, I haven't been on them for like 3 months now, Jane, do you know what I mean? And I had all this download of this universal knowledge of just love. I loved myself completely. Just beautiful, like, it was wonderful, you know? And I just loved everybody as well. And like, there was nobody could offend me at all, because I just, it's all linked to the ego mind and the identity and attachment to ideas and division and things. It was just, I was love and light for absolutely everything in the world, and it was just such a beautiful place to be in.
Sorry to interrupt this podcast. The Wellness Way has got a brand new interactive ebook out. I've created a beginner's guide to your natural health systems to help you navigate through the jungle of natural health. A banquet of knowledge wrapped up in a simple ebook, featuring some of my top guests from the podcast. As an added bonus, I've even thrown in my meditation album, The Wellness Awakening, From Past Lives to Passing. Head over to my webpage, phillyjlay.com, to grab your copy now. And while you're there, why don't you sign up for my newsletter? And don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast so we can continue to get this information out. Remember, the doctor of your future is you.
So anyway, that stayed for a good 6 months. I got into the best shape of my life, mainly because my thoughts weren't there. They weren't going like, oh, you're tired now. It'd be like, oh, you're getting there now. You can still do more. You can still do. And it would just tell me the most positive and, like, you know, just trying to think of the right term. It would just reaffirm to me who I truly was, you know, and it was just the most amazing experience. And though that stayed for a good 8 months, do you know what I mean? And people say this with psychedelics, you get this breakthrough and then you're able to just be in this space of bliss, you know. It was bliss, just pure bliss, because there's no thoughts. And it's beautiful, because they say that as in all the religious texts and things, if you want to get into the gates of heaven, I was in heaven, you know. If you want to get into the gates of heaven, become again as a child. What does a child not do? It doesn't think, it doesn't label things, it doesn't know that's a radiator, it doesn't know this is a chair, because this isn't a chair and that's not a radiator. Exactly, yeah. So all labels for myself.
It's pure. Yes. It's that pure love that comes from, you know, children, puppies, as you know, I've got a new puppy.
Unconditional.
That pure, unconditional love that we're born with, that is chipped away from us from the moment we're born, really. And so that's a really beautiful story, how you went back and you found that pure love. And I want to talk to you more about Earth School, because, you know, this is a really fucked up place. And, you know, what we've gone through in the last 4 years, you know, especially, blows my mind how anybody is still sane. You know, it's not just, you know, the COVID lies. It's not just, you know, lockdowns. It's not just the wars, the terrible wars and the loss of life around the planet. You know, it encompasses everything. You know, our farmers are in shit. We're not going to get food. They're spraying us from above. They're spraying our plants and our, you know, as you said, and, you know, everything. You just kind of go, how on earth can the planet survive? And the question I have to keep asking myself and coming back to is, why the fuck am I here at Earth School? I know this isn't my first rodeo. First rodeo of this planet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, why are we here? Tell me your beliefs on what's going on out there and why we've come here at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I understand it, you know, I got an Akashic reading done, and yeah, it made complete sense why all COVID happened and things like this, because in that she said Earth, the awakening process on Earth wasn't going quick enough, basically, and they needed to impart a little bit of a shove, if you want, yeah, because it was like everybody was starting to realize things, but they weren't really. So what did we get? We got COVID. What did that force everybody to do? Forced everybody to, oh, look, if you don't want to work, you don't have to go to your job. Oh, cool. Hang on a minute. Is this how things can be? You know, oh, look, we'll give the Earth we'll give the planet a little bit of a respite, you know, and just do, you know, just to close everything down. And what did it do? It made everybody go within, you know, or a lot of the population made them go within and really start questioning stuff. Are you happy with the person you're living with? No. Right. Well, you can do something about it, because you're going to get locked down with them now. So you're going to be forced to be with them 100% of the time.
You're so fucked if you're not happy. I can't tell you.
That's it. And then, like, what do you do then with your job? Are you happy in your job? Because you don't have to go to work anymore. A lot of them, I did. I was just in the forestry, so we got, like, you know, we were just outside anyway, so it didn't make a difference anyway, because I believe it's all radiation. But anyway, and then, so it made everybody sort of like...
You mumbled all of that. I don't think our audience just got a word of that, but I'll just... you went to work anyway, because you were out in the forest.
Yes, exactly. That's it. And we got this little note that said, if the police stop you, then, you know, it doesn't matter, and you can freely travel and all the rest of it. Anyway, the hypocrisy and the irony with everything over the last few years has been fantastic. Oh. What a laugh, like, you know.
I know, I'm sorry, I've got to say, one of the cracking things was that so many people believed that, you know, you could walk into a restaurant when they opened them up again, and if you had your mask on, you were absolutely fine, you sat down, and then you could take it off to eat, and you were okay, and then at 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock, COVID came back out, and it's just like, I was astounded at how stupid people could be. I just, you know, and I don't mean that as an offense to anybody, unless that was you doing that, in which case I'm really sorry, but I just am astounded at how stupid people were. But carry on. The world came to this big standstill.
Yeah, that was it. Like, it was. The awakening process wasn't going. So what do? You impart a little bit of fear into society. What does fear do? It makes people either go with whatever they're saying and become more subservient to the systems in place, or you get this breakaway of all these beings who are going like, nah, hang on a minute, there's something wrong here, you know. So it was beautiful, you know. And like, I see everything as absolutely perfect, you know what I mean? Because I know that death is an illusion, it doesn't exist. And that's what the lie that we've been told here is, that, you know. So that was it, you know, with COVID. Oh, you can die, you can kill grandma, all this sort of stuff. Well, yeah, I've been jabbed and I'm absolutely fine, do you know what I mean? And it's like, all of these things, it was there to impart a little bit of fear. So,
sorry, I just heard you say, I've been jabbed. Did you have
No,
to?
I haven't been
oh,
jabbed.
Oh, right, sorry,
and I'm
thought
fine.
I
can't. No, no.
I was just about,
but
I'm just
funnily
tap
enough,
on that.
For humility as well, like, when I was around a lot of people who were all speaking the same thing, and I knew, and I had to, like, I was the only one in that group who didn't get it, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this, and all the rest of it. But for humility and clarity as well. And this is where it's like, you know, I won't call them stupid or anything like that, because I know that it's all fear. They're terrified, you know, and it's like, I feel sorry for these people in a way, do you know what I mean? Because they've just all been guided, saying that, you know, if you don't do this, then this is going to happen, and they've go along with it, you know. But I went, and this is when I knew that I was first, like, divinely protected, basically. I actually booked a jab. I went to the door on the morning of that jab, and I knew it. Everything in me was going like, no, what the fuck are you doing, Sam? Like, get out of here, do you know what I mean? Anyway, this is really interesting. And anyway, so like, I went on the door, and the door was closed. And I was like, that's weird. Anyway, there was a guy in the car park over the way, and he's like, they haven't shown up. And I'm like, what do you mean they haven't shown up? And it's just like, no, they haven't shown up. And I heard this voice go, get the fuck out of there, Sam. Get the fuck out of there now. Yeah, and I was like, okay, again, it's embodiment. Okay. It's embodiment, you know, of just like, oh, I know where these people are at with it all, you know, because like everybody's pressing them to get these things. And anyway, it's all a big game anyway, as I see it. But anyway, next day I get a phone call off the nurses, basically, and they said like, oh, I'm sorry we didn't show up yesterday. A really weird thing happened, actually. One of the nurses, their dog got ill very, very quickly, and the other one, her car broke down on the way there, and they were just like, oh, would you like to rebook in? I'm like, nah, I'm okay, thank you very much, you know. But it's just like, but again, it's the humility of just like, shit, like everybody's just scared, you know. And it's like that like, really, it's the humility thing that we need right now. Because, like, if we're judging or blaming people for making these decisions, they were just doing it out of fear. And I'm just like, oh, you poor souls, do you know what I mean? And it gave me a lot of sort of, like, compassion for these people, basically, you know. And
I don't think it was just fear. I think a lot of people did it for convenience as well.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I want to go on holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, my youngest daughter took two because she was on her gap year and wanted to travel. My eldest daughter nearly took it because they had said that they weren't going to open up nightclubs to anybody that hadn't had it, and she was at uni and just went, Mom, I can't be the only person.
Fair dues, mate.
Hold the line, it won't happen. You know, and we kind of first of December that they said they were opening the clubs, but you couldn't go in without a jab. And you know, kind of the 27th of November, she's phoning me going, Mum, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to be the only person not down the club on Monday night or whatever night. And I'm going, hold the line, just have faith. And sure enough, it didn't happen. But, you know, everybody, the pressure that was put on people was like nothing we have ever seen before. You know, and I can only imagine what it was like in Nazi Germany back in the 1930s. But I've spoken about this before on the podcast, I went to a demonstration in Berlin during 2020, one of the lockdowns, caused a riot on the aeroplane because I refused to wear a mask and didn't have any paperwork, just kind of went, no, I'm exempt, I'm not part of this.
Yeah.
So it caused a bit of a riot, got to Germany, couldn't find the demonstration, walked for hours, and then I sat down on this monument on the steps and I started sobbing my heart out because I just thought, you know, what the fuck am I doing? I'm a middle-aged woman in a country that I don't know. I can't speak the language. I've no idea where I'm going. What am I doing? And I looked up, and at that moment, on the horizon, were all the police vans and all the sirens. And I just went, yes, I'm here. I'm here. And as I filmed the people walking past me very slowly, and the Germans were great, they knew how to do this, 1 meter apart with black masks on, and somebody came running up to me and said, wear a mask, and I went, I'm exempt. And she went, you're fucking put it on, we're not getting closed down because of you. And I went, okay. And that was the only time I wore a mask. But as I filmed for 2 hours as these people walked past me, you know, my dad was a pilot in World War II, and I'd grown up to hate the Germans. You know, I mean, I don't think that's too strong a word. You know, that's kind of what we did of our generation in Germany. But at that moment in time, I was able to look at these wonderful people and to have complete forgiveness because I knew what propaganda could do, and have complete gratitude because they were getting up in greater numbers than we were because they'd been here before.
Yeah.
And it was a truly liberating moment in my life. It let go of so much of the hatred and the anger. My dad had severe Parkinson's, which we'd always put down to the war and being a bomber pilot. And, you know, any pilots that survived World War II, most of them came back with Parkinson's, and we were told it was the shaking of the plane. But after my dad died, I read one of his letters to my mom, trying to call off their engagement, saying, "I love you so much that I cannot marry you." Ever since I had that blooming, plague inoculation, he called it. Ever since I've had that plague inoculation, I cannot stop shaking and I have blinding migraines. I cannot marry you, my darling. I had believed that it was the war and flying the planes that had made my father so ill. I didn't know it was a plague inoculation until after my mother died and I opened her suitcase of letters from him and, you know, started reading through them. And I'm just like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Interesting.
It was a very awakening moment for a lot of us. A lot of us had our awakening in 2020.
Yeah.
Carry on with your story.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what was that now.
Sorry, my love.
What was it?
So you were talking about the DMT, and you'd had this phenomenal experience, and you'd come back.
Mm-hmm. I was very good for a long amount of time. Yep, then, you know, it was months. Like stayed in this bliss state basically. But then, because of the people, no judgment to them at all. It's like because of the people I was around, it just wasn't. I wasn't able to be my true self really around them. Do you know what I mean? And this is my ex-partner and things. And while I was on antidepressants as well, my daughter Jessie was conceived as well. Then Jessie was born in the February. I was speaking off a completely different script page, basically, you know. And it was just like I wasn't around the people who I could be myself with. So then the depression starts to form. What is depression? It's deep rest. Your character of who you were pretending to be. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy to keep that face up, basically, you know. And a lot of people thought that I was arrogant and things like this, you know, in that phase, when actually, no, it's like when you're your higher self or whatever it is, you just don't, you're you, you know. And however anybody perceives that, you know, a lot of people will call you names and they'll call you narcissist and all this sort of thing, but you're not, you're literally speaking from your truth. But my truth scared a lot of the people who I was around. So that was it. Then I was trying to fit into, you know, square peg in a round hole. You can't fit in, you know. And so
that great saying, if you feel you don't fit into this world, it's because you're here to build a new one.
Yes, exactly.
The Wellness Way presents Barbara O'Neill. Barbara is coming to talk in London June the 11th, 2024. Go to phillyjlay.com to secure your tickets now. We'll see you there.
And I didn't understand that at the time, you know, and this is why I do the calls with people now, because I know that there's a lot of lonely people out there who are in that space, who are going like, I'm around all these people, I don't feel as though I'm heard, I don't feel as though I'm seen, what can I do? And I just literally lift them up, you know. I'm an energy alchemist, that's what I break myself down to, in many ways, do you know what I mean?
I
hold
that
space, you know, but moreover, now it's face-to-face conversations that we do via Zoom and things. I'm talking to people all over the world about this stuff, because of where I've been, the strife and the struggle and relationship breakdowns and all of these things that I've had to navigate. I then went, oh my God, this is my gift, you know. And then in my Akashic reading, she said in that you're here to help this transitional period, you know, and you've gone through a lot of serious stuff in your life so that you can go listen to people and go, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's cool. I know how to transmute that energy. Do you know what I mean? And just give people this, I'm heard, I'm not going crazy, I'm around all these people who, you know, just a lot of people are working with people and they're in jobs that aren't really aligned to who they are. So it's like helping them to go like, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to, you know, who do you want to be? Like, go out and do that, you know, but be your authentic self, really. And I think that's it on the social media. Everybody really appreciates that, you know. They just see it and go like, I really like you as an energy. I'm like, yeah, I like me too, actually. Do you know what I mean? And that's it. When you start to love yourself and you start to put yourself yourself in places where you are aligned with people who you're aligned with, then everything starts to get better and you can be your true self, basically. But that's what I do in essence now, you know, amongst many things.
And I love that. And my first book, The Natural Wellness Journal, the first exercise in the book, I actually asked you to take a photograph of yourself, put it on your screensaver, print it off, put it on the fridge. And I just asked a simple question. If I asked you to tell me the 10 things you love most in the world, when would you mention yourself? And so few people don't. If you say to somebody, what are the 10 things you love most in the world? They go, oh, well, I love
my dog, my mom, my plants.
I love my garden. I love walking.
Yeah.
Nobody says, I love myself.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard. And you feel, or I don't know whether you felt this, but I absolutely felt this. When I started working on my higher self and trying to bring in self-love into my life, I felt arrogant. I felt I wasn't worthy of that self-love. And that by kind of going, well, I love myself. And because I'm a tapper, you know, you say your positive affirmation. I love and accept myself completely. But when I started, I couldn't say anywhere near that. You know, I couldn't. I was just about saying I am enough. But, you know, now I can actually say I love and accept myself completely. And there are days that I go, I love and accept myself completely, even though I'm not perfect. Because I'm not perfect. But none of us are perfect. And that's okay.
Yeah.
We're here where we are, holding space for who we are at this moment in time.
Yeah, that's all we have, isn't it? This moment, you know? And it's like, I love the term like imperfect, because you break it down, it's I'm perfect, you know? Because you can't be perfect. And like in my life, you know, it was always my mum, God love her, she, you know, is just, and I know that this ancestral stuff that's handed down to us, we have to accept it first before we can do something about it. You can only change what you accept, basically. You know, and it's, again, some of the work that I do with people. But, like, I know that my mum was just put down all the time when she was younger. She had horrendous experiences when she was really young, you know, so she doesn't trust anybody, you know. And it's just, like, that self-love isn't there. So it gets projected out onto every, oh, you've got to do this way, and you've got all this control that's then being put out into the world, and we don't have any control. So it's, like, that was a real wake up for me, you know, especially after I did the DMT. I was just like, oh, I just let go and surrender to everything. And just when there's no thought here, there's no suffering, because it's only the thoughts that create all of the turmoil within your body, the energy imbalances. You can't have an energy imbalance in your body without first having a thought, you know. But this idea of perfectionism, you know, it's like, oh, you have to get it right for first time all the time. No. Like, as divine masculines especially, I think that the way that I learn is through making mistakes. You can't, if you're stagnant and you're just sat there going, you know, like, oh, I'm not moving, I'm just going to sit here and do the comfortable thing all the time. There's no growth there. You know, there's no growth there. You've got to really push yourself. And that means that you will make mistakes. And in our lifetime, you know, it's really controlled people, you know, generally, because everybody's passed this ancestral shit down to us. Divinely, it's fantastic. But like, you know, it gets to that point where you've got to really go like, all right, like, I am perfect within my imperfections, and I will make mistakes, but I will just admit them, and then I will move through it. And don't see mistakes as like, oh, I've failed now, I'm going to stop. And all, no, the only failure or the only true mistake you can make is by giving up, you know. And that's what I help a lot of people with, is just like, but you're not finished yet. That's one of my favorite terms, is just like, everyone's going, oh, my life is this, that, and the other. I'm just like, inside, I'm going like, oh, good. Because that means that you're moving, you're shifting, and you're feeling uncomfortable. And they're like, yeah, it's horrendous. And I'm like, is it? Or are you just now starting to, you've not finished yet, have you? Yeah. And it's just like, I speak to all sorts of people with terminal illnesses, people who are really struggling with the awakening. Oh, I can't let go of these people and all the rest of it. And it's just like, when you do, and you start to make those decisions for yourself, and it's so hard in this society as well, because it's gone, like, as soon as you say, I love who I am, people go like, oh, he loves who he is. But yeah, they're just projecting onto you because they don't love who they are. So it's really like, it's fantastic here. It really is. You know, everything is happening for you. Everything is happening for you. Yeah, there you go.
Every
single thing. It's just we see it and there's, this has happened. Oh, it's crazy. And oh, my life has fallen apart and thingy died and all the rest of it. And they're just like, yeah, good, cool. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, I hear you. I'm not going to react to what you're saying by going giving it a label as good or bad, because there isn't any. It's a polarity. You've got something that somebody says is good here, and you've got something that somebody says is bad here. You know, it's like, oh, I don't have any money. You know, it's just like, right, well, that's on the scale of here, right? I don't have any money. No, that's a really bad example, actually. But say there's...
Well, to use cancer, for example, I always think that is a really good example. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when people get cancer, they believe that they've just had a life sentence. Mm-hmm. You know, that is what we have been programmed, absolutely, to believe.
Yeah.
But we all have cancer in us. Mm-hmm. We all have cancer. It's there. It's there for a reason. It's eating all the shit and pulling all the shit together and putting it in one place into a nice big ball so that you can deal with it. And then that ball is just going, listen, do something about me. Change your lifestyle. Get sorted out. Yeah. For fuck's sake. If not, I'm going to kill you.
It's a signal, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a signal. Mm-hmm. It's a signal. And, you know, most people, when they, you know, if a friend or a family member phones them and says, oh, my God, I've got cancer. You know, and I had a tumour and, you know, I phoned people and I cried. And as you do, because you've been programmed to believe that that's a death sentence. But, you know, when people tell me, I can't say. I used to say, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Mm. I can't say that now.
No, I'm the same.
It's just like, okay,
cool. What are we doing now? Yeah. Go read a Joe Dispenza book. Yeah, change your perspective on it. That's it, you know. It's just like, it doesn't have to be this terminal. You've got terminal cancer. I do have terminal. Ooh, careful, because you're creating all of your reality with those thoughts. Yeah. And then that tells your body all the different things. If you go like, I'm getting better and better every day. Oh, my God, look at how much I'm excelling in my healing journey and all the rest of it, then that becomes your reality. But they have programmed us, the powers that were, they have programmed us to believe that these things are really detrimental and all the rest of it. So they're literally, and it's the same with news, it's the same with anything, you know. There's a war going on over here, and it was really interesting because I was in London the other week, and they had a Palestine thing up right in front of Westminster. I'm like, a Palestine stage and everything, and I'm just like, more division. If they've allowed it right in front of Houses of Parliament, they have put in a permit for this. So that means that it's the powers that were that are controlling all this to create division, you know. So it's just like, you know, there's us, we're the Jews and they're the Palestinians. And all of this, I realised this in DMT. I was like, of course, we're all one. Like, of course we're all one. Like, we stem out from the same point. That's it.
We absolutely are all one. I believe we come from source. Now, whatever you want to call source, whether you want to call source God or the universe or source,
unconditional
or
love, whatever,
unconditional love, your higher self, whatever it is, whatever name you wish to give it, we have come onto this earth school and there are terrible things happening. And so when you talk about, you know, a Palestine demonstration, I've been on some because I know that my dad didn't fight in the Second World War to have this shit going on now. Mm-hmm. He did not, you know, and my granddad was in World War One, you know, the war to end all wars. Mm. Fucking didn't. And there is a genocide going on. And as much as I know what you're saying makes absolutely sense, you know, great sense to me on my higher plane, we still can't stand by and let this happen. We cannot watch genocide.
Everything will play out exactly as it's meant to. That's it, you know. It's a toughie because you've got to surrender to it, you know. But everything is happening in the world at the moment. And we don't know what's going to happen either. Do you know what I mean? Like, there could be cataclysms or whatever it is. And this is my ethos anyway, which is playing into Taoism. You know, everything that's playing out now is perfect. And that's a hard one because we see all this suffering. But when you die, you don't die. Yeah. And it's terrible, isn't it? Because we're watching it. If you watch it, that's another thing as well. If you watch it, then you become part of that storyline and that timeline, you know? And it's like, I don't watch any news. I don't have any interaction with the outside. This is my world right here, yeah? And all I can do is look within myself to change this little bit of consciousness so that this little bit of consciousness, I don't like the term heals, but like sort of like this little bit of consciousness
expands,
can bring
its consciousness,
expand its awareness to a point where you see the higher level of what's going on here, you know. And we can look at that. There's always been wars in the world, there's always been famine, there's always been people dying in Africa. We're just not shown that because that's not what they want us to see. So if we're being shown any of this stuff on TV, then it is literally them going like, here, more fear, more division, more all this, yeah? Oh, look at the atrocities and all that. How do we know any of this is actually true? How do we actually know that? Because I don't, you know? Well, I'm seeing something happening here and we can research it. Who's saying that? Who's that's why all the answers are within us, you know? And I'm this no force. There's no force required. The only thing, if I'm conscious, that I can have control over is this, yeah? And that's only if I'm conscious. So that means breaking out of fear, because that is the fear game. Anything that's there, division, fear, any of this stuff is being sold to us as something that we need to pay attention to so that we create the reality through our consciousness. We create everything based on this, yeah? And it's like that. Like, since I've started doing that, I feel in a peace. I'd no longer, like, you know, go out researching all of this stuff. And I've been through it, you know? It's like, it didn't happen overnight. But I've now come to the realization that that is it. This is the only thing that I have control over, you know? And it's like, why isn't anybody doing anything about anything in Africa for all them years? Why isn't anybody doing anything about, you know, I don't even know what's going on in Ukraine or Palestine or anything. It's out of my awareness. Do you know what I mean? Because the only thing that I have control over is this at the end of the day. And that's it. It's like, if we think that we have any control over that or whatever, we can bring awareness to it. But what are we actually bringing awareness to? I don't know. You know, am I actually sort of like working for the darkness in here, you know, and prolonging these things? I don't know, you know, but that's why it is. Like, all I can do is go like, you're doing really well. Well done. Do you know what I mean? And lift people up and G them up. Because I hear so many people who are trapped in it, you know, and going like, you know, I have people on my lives going like, he doesn't care about Palestine. And it's just like, but it's not my care to have for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. Mm-hmm. I'm on a slightly different plane here, mm-hmm. because I do think that it is our care to have as part of humanity, that we have to take on the responsibility for humanity. There is that saying, I don't know who said it in World War II, but it was... they came for the Jews and I said nothing because I wasn't one. Mm-hmm. They came for the blacks and I said nothing because I wasn't one. They came for the gays and I said nothing because I wasn't one. They came for me and there was no one to stand for me. Mm-hmm. And so I believe it's really important that we do stand. And I completely, Sam, completely get... all of your awakening and your higher self and you know what this feeling is like, and I feel it as well. And it's very hard, I find, when you've been put on this planet, you know, and it's no coincidence that there are 8 billion people in the world today that have all, you know, we most probably punched each other's lights out to get a gig, you know, this gig on Earth at this moment in time. You know, this is, you know, the biggest gig in the history of man. Well, you know, mm-hmm. for
yeah,
a long
it is
time.
Of the Earth,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a massive
whatever
gig.
Whatever it is, yeah.
But I do think that it's incredibly important that we have to hold space and love and peace for those people that are not as fortunate. Now, I agree with you. I don't know what's right and wrong anymore on the news. I don't watch the news either. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what I'm seeing. I do see quite a lot on, you know, I suppose any of the news I get at the moment is from TikTok, mm-hmm. because people do seem to be getting more stuff out on TikTok. I mean, I've got taken down off there, but...
Good for you.
For spreading
badge of honour, yeah.
Oh, natural health, but mm-hmm. you know, war
yeah,
stuff,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Organic,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Breath work, oh, you're down,
yeah.
But I am seeing a lot of stuff that does look as if it's coming from the front line. But you're right, we don't know anything anymore.
Mm.
You know, I look at Ukraine and
I have no idea what's going on anywhere. Sorry, yeah, it's interesting, it's not in my awareness at the moment. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, It's funny because all these social medias, like, I believe that, like, everybody says algorithm and all this sort of stuff, but I believe that it's divine. At where you're vibrating at, you'll get shown certain things to match that frequency. Do you know what I mean? And it's like same with Instagram and stuff like this. So I'm not seeing any of that right now. Like, I like the farmers in all the places right now, just spreading shit and everything like that. That's fantastic. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, but what do you think you can do to sort of like, what is the awareness that you're bringing to this? And is it helping? Do you see it helping?
Okay, so I think there's quite a bit you can do. Actually, I've got a list of companies that are supporting Israel, like Starbucks and McDonald's and Marks and Spencer's. And, you know, it's a long list. And I'll put a post up on social media this week so you can know every single company that's supporting Israel. We can stop supporting those companies. You know, a lot of those companies are companies that are also fucking over our farmers, like Marks and Sparks, McDonald's, Starbucks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's look at all the parallels here going on. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, what's funding this war? Our money. Mm-hmm. And what happens if we stop paying our taxes? Now, I know that that's illegal. And you can't do that. But I'm looking into something at the moment, which is trust funds, where you can say to the government, I'm going to pay you my tax and I've got the money here in my account. But actually, I'm just going to pop it into a little trust fund because you're not spending my money wisely. I have not given you my permission to spend it on ammunition for a genocide. I have not given you my permission to spend billions on dodgy PPE to your mates. I have not given you my permission. And the list goes on. So, and when you stop doing this, then I'm really happy to hand this money over. And, you know, I think that this, we're not going to change the world unless we change the system that we live in. And it's all well and good knowing that you've got your higher self and your greater being and your purpose. And I am so grateful to have discovered this in my life and to have learned it and to know it. But until we do something about the system that we have been...
The system, in my mind, is burning itself out. Built into a... You can see it's cyclical. Built into a fear-based system is a self-destruct button, and we're seeing it self-destruct now. And I've had this conversation with my mum, actually, and she was just like, well, what can I do? I was just like, bring awareness to it, you know? Just bring awareness to yourself, what is truly going on. Look at the fear, you know, and then you'll see through the fear, and then you're able to do something from a place of like peace rather than force. Like, and this is my Taoist sort of principles, you know. I'm not religious at all, you know. I'm sure I've had many, many religious lives and things like that, but now it's got me to this place where it's like no force is required. It's burning itself out, because as it gets more crazy and more inverted, like, we're in the Kali Yuga right now, which is the densest form of reality that we have ever been in. But like, built into that system, any fear-based system, is that self-destruct button. And it's already happening, you know, through no force. All I can do is put goodness out there. And I know what I agree and don't agree with. And I will speak my truth with that, you know. But I believe playing into these things, if we're seeing it on the news, then there's something, then we're all being guided down a path of really sort of like creating that. Not to say that it's not happening, it is happening, you know, but there have always been wars. But how do we actually know what is truly going on? Because I don't, you know. If we're being shown it, how do I know what is actually going on here? I don't. So I'm just focusing on this. That's really it. That's all I can do, you know. And it's not all peace, love and light. Oh my God, it's not peace, love and light. Like, this is a really dark path. I've been on some very, very intense journeys, psychedelic journeys, do you know what I mean, where I've been to hell and I've seen what's occurring and is going to occur. It's almost like you tap into the future, and I was shown horrendous things. But I know that if I can come out of that and still hold like peace in my heart and joy and happiness and still be loving and kind and all the rest of it, then that is really good. And like, the power of prayer and the power of our intuition. And it's not so much about forcing anything in the thingy. It's more in the etheric world for me, you know, like just meditating together as people. That is so powerful, man. Like, so powerful. because we are emanating these frequencies out to the world. And that, however much it seems like that, that's the lovely term that I use for this, is like we're moving out of logic of like trying to change things physically, and we're moving into magic, you know.
Oh, I love that.
It's good, isn't it?
I love that.
I really like that.
And I really love that.
So out of logic and into magic, yeah. You know, it's like there might be a book or something like that. If somebody's probably already got it, it's fantastic. But that's what I see happening right now, is we're moving out of this place of just like forcing change and doing all this, and we're just doing it through like, yeah, our meditations, basically, you know. And you can say like, and that's not to say like, I know there was all these Chinese monks and things, and like, Tibetan monks, and then the Chinese army came into the thing and they just sat there and meditated. That's not what it's about. If the time called for it, and I had to, I don't know actually, do I? I have to think about this one.
You know what I'm going to say.
That's it, isn't it? You know, right. No, say if I was in my house, I wouldn't just go, oh, peace, love and light, mate. Come in and please just like murder my family. And so I would get up and I would kill him, but I would do it out of a place of compassion, you know, for like, it's almost like an Avatar when they're killing the thing. And it's just like, you know, I love you and I see that you're just damaged and hurt. And that's what this fear-based system does to people. It just turns them into these animalistic people who just want money, or they think that the happiness is there and it's not. But if somebody came into my house and started attacking my, I would kill them without a shadow of a doubt, you know. So it's just that, yeah, but it's the intention that you do it with, because you don't incur any more karma if you do it through that sense and things. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that, but you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. It is... It is a world that, I mean, I'm a massive fan of collective consciousness meditation. I'm a massive fan of meditation. I think out of all the work that I've done, my meditation album, the Wellness Awakening from Past Lives to Passing, is the thing that I am absolutely most proud of. And I love it. And I don't know where it came from, but that feeling of being at one with the universe and just finding more space. And when I start meditating, I just go, more space, more space, more space, more space. And I just let the space encompass me and me just melt into it. And then when you start meditating and you think of other people, I start my day every morning. So after I've woken up, about 10, 15 minutes after I wake up, my alarm goes off, which is this really beautiful classical music. Mm-hmm. And that is my time to come into my body, out of my dreams, into my body, just very gently, and to think of my children and love people. Mm-hmm. And I just put my hand on my heart and I talk to them, and I talk to my dogs, and I talk to people that aren't here. Mm-hmm. And that, it just always gives me that sense of love to start my day, a starting point in unity with the people I love.
Lovely.
Which is a really nice place to start your day. And I just think the collective consciousness going forward, we've seen miraculous results with collective consciousness, and we've seen, you know, crime rates plummet and fraud plummet, and you know, house prices, you know, rocket through the roof, which isn't good for everybody. But you know, I mean, people are kind
of, if you're selling, it is.
It is if you're selling. But you know, I think this is the way forward. And as more and more people understand the power that we have outside of this realm that we live in,
yeah,
and there's going to be a wonderful march, pilgrimage, if you like, this year to the WHO in Geneva. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a pretty evil bunch of people there. Mm-hmm. And we have tried talking to our politicians and we are failing. And so the Together organization, Dan Austin, or Gregory, he was telling me about it the other day and saying, you know, they're organising 10,000 people to walk to Geneva and to stand outside the WHO and just to spread the love. And I said, he said, are you coming? I said, put me down.
Love it.
Happy to do a meditation, lead a collective consciousness.
Yeah, man.
And this is what we need to be doing now.
Yeah.
We need to just be holding space and spreading the love, because the name of our podcast is Navigating Earth School. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to come back to that as we close the podcast. What is Earth School? Why are we here? And what can we do? What would you say? Apart from the meditation, the collective consciousness, what's the takeaways, the main takeaways that you would tell anybody about our Earth School now?
Main takeaways for me are just, yeah, go with all the answers that you're looking for are within you. You know, you are the unit. There's the reason that our DNA stores 13.8 billion years worth of data in it, because we are the universe experiencing itself. And every timeline, start the universe, bang, every eventuality, every potentiality, every single interaction and potential timeline as then was brought into existence, you know. And it's just like, now we're just swimming in that soup, really. But as far as, yeah, like, I see it all as sort of like subjective experience, you know. And it's just like, say with the thing in Palestine and stuff, we don't know if that's a good or a bad thing yet, because it hasn't played out. We can look at it on face value and see this turmoil, same with COVID, you know. It's like any of these things, we go, oh, it's terrible that this happened. Is it? Do we know that yet? You know, do we know that these things are good or bad? You know, yes, people are dying, but when you die, you just reincarnate, you know. And it's like some people have chosen to come down here at this time to experience that, you know. And it's like, there's such a beautiful thing. And this is my surrendering and letting go with it all, is we don't know enough to know whether something is good or bad or not. And really, good or bad is polarity based on perspective, isn't it? You know, so we've got something that's good and bad. We don't know that, because some person who could have this experience here, whatever it is, say, you know, COVID, goes like, oh, it's terrible, like, you know, thingy died and all the rest of it. And when it's another person can see it and go like, oh, it was amazing because I made loads of money in the thingy and all these different things. So,
oh, me, it was amazing because I had my children home at an age that, yeah, you know, it shouldn't have happened. But, mm-hmm, you know, kind of 18 birthday parties, building a campfire out in the woods instead of them out go. Clubbing and coming home and, yeah, vomiting over me. It was marvellous.
It's perfect, isn't it, you know? And it's just like, I look at the whole of thing and I always catch my ego mind goes like, oh, this is awful, or whatever it is, you know, my car broke down. And I'm just like, I don't know, because the universe is always trying its best to put me onto my highest timeline. And I know that now, you know, through all the suffering that you go through.
Do you think we can stop people from feeling what they're feeling?
No, I don't think you can. I think that you can't save anybody else from their suffering. And in the suffering is all the lessons that they need. It's like that thing with saying, you know, it's like, it's just comfortable to sit on the couch and eat popcorn and watch Netflix. Yeah, but there's no growth in that. Where all the growth that I've noticed within my life, it was in that suffering. Mm. Without that, it's a prerequisite for growth, you know? And it's like, we look at ourselves as a microcosm. Oh, this is terrible, this is happening. We look at this as a macrocosm. Look at all the wars that are happening in the world. It's been, we have gone so far into this inverted state that it is going to take a lot of upheaval and things falling and crashing and doing all these things for us to turn that round back into an organic timeline. Some people may go on the synthetic timeline. That's fine. That's their subjective experience. There is no more, you know, it's not good or bad that anybody's going on any of these timelines. It's just where they're at in this soul journey right now. And it was what was told to me in my Akashic reading, where she said, like, you know, after these people die, they will go back into another 3D planet or another 3D reality to learn the same lessons, to get their awareness to the point where yours are and where everybody else's are, you know, so that they're able to liberate themselves from this consistent suffering. And that comes from taking yourself out of fear, you know, and not prolonging the fear timelines either. That's the big thing, you know. And it's just like, there are many, many horrendous things that are happening in the world right now. But if you look at it from a higher perspective and go like, oh, I see what's happening here, it's just all that inversion turning round. So it will look really scary, but it's not finished yet, you know. Out of war, you know, World War II, what happened afterwards? Was there any crime? No, everybody loved it. Was there any looting or anything like this? No, everybody came together, you know. So out of these adversities come these beautiful realizations, and it takes a smack in the face for sometimes for us to realize that. And I don't know whether what's happening is good or bad, because it's not played out yet. So
that's a very, very interesting,
interesting
point,
isn't it? Yeah.
Because you're right, it hasn't played out yet.
And I wouldn't take away my bufo where I went to hell and, like, you know, it, horrendous. Like I say, it felt like every single war, Every single perception of person in a war at their most terrifying was put in a little box and put into my body. Every single person's, and it was like I felt the suffering of every single person on this earth. Would I take that back? God, no. Because that was the most profound thing. And at the time, I was like, I've messed up here. I'm going psychotic. I'm going crazy. How can I ever get back? Here we are now with this awareness. So we don't know, you know, and there's a lot of power in we don't know, you know. And the best intentions that we do sometimes those things like actually cause harm later on down the line. And that's why I hands off, because I don't know what I'm doing here is either prolonging or not prolonging, you know. But at the same time, though, you can't really get it wrong, which is the beautiful thing. You can't make a mistake in this lifetime, you know. So it's just like, yeah, it's a whole paradox, this reality. But I'm fascinated by it.
I'm absolutely fascinated by it too.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, Philly? But yeah. But
I have to ask you, do you believe in heaven and hell? So I believe in heaven. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in hell?
It's ego mind. Everybody's in, that's what I've discerned from this, you know. It's like in me trying to control everything, because that was my intention going into my Bufo ceremony where I was shown all this stuff. That was my ego mind going like, oh my God, I need to control this. I need to control everything that's happening. And you can't. So you go crazy because you can't. You've got to let go and surrender. As soon as I let go and surrender, hey, welcome to heaven. Because then it's no longer the thing, you know.
But when you pass, if you can't let go and surrender, will you, could you spend that time in that ego mind kind of?
Oh, I think you can, yeah, but no, I think for a small amount of time, because certain people have NDEs, and that's basically what happens when you take DMT, you die and come back into your body. And I've listened to a lot of experiences where people have gone into a hell realm, basically, because they were not good people, they didn't treat other people very well, you know. But I know that that breaks, nobody's intentionally bad. Everybody comes into this world pure, basically, you know. It's like, even Hitler went to heaven, you know. He would have had a fucking horrendous life review. Oh boy, you know, because you feel all the suffering that you've given to other people and all the rest of it. But God is unconditional love, you know. And there's no guarantee that your bad actions were actually bad, you know, in this lifetime. Or they might seem like that.
That's a little point that might get me closed down.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it. I don't know. It's a lot of power in I don't know. But is there heaven and hell? Yeah, but it's here right now. We create heaven here with our perception if we're trying to control, and that's why the path to surrendering and letting go leads you into heaven. Heaven is here right now. You want to be in heaven? Stop thinking.
And you know? You spoke earlier about our DNA having
apparently, I haven't studied it, but yeah, I've heard this
many times. And, you know, as you said, we're in the here and now. And, you know, this is our body. And here, these are our temples.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people kind of think that we need to go to a religious place to worship. But, you know, God, the universe, source, field, whatever you want to call it, gave us temples. And so this, your third eye, is in the center of your temples, and that is the place that you just have to focus and keep calm. Keep your hands on your heart, keep it connected to love. Whatever you do, and then whatever happens, I think you can just pretty much navigate school. Do you agree? Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yes. Perfect. Lovely wrap up. Fantastic. You're very good at this, Philly.
Sam, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much.
It has really been a joy to have you, and it's great to have these profound conversations that, you know, a lot of people might go, well, that's not about health, but it's everything about health. So, you know, take what you can from the episode and just go and hold somebody in your heart. Do everything you do with love the best you can. Just find that love within you. And thank you for being here and joining this episode of The Wellness Way. And I'll see you next week for more health. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.